We are on.
This is Auraville Radio, and today we've got a wonderful guest. This is Matthew, who works with AVI in the USA, and he's got a guitar with him. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. Thanks, Matthew.
Yeah, we like to keep things simple, so everyone in the studio today is called Matthew. Saves complicating things.
Yeah.
So how long have you been here? How long are you going to be with us in Auraville? Or is
it... I'm actually leaving tonight, so this is the tail end here. I've been here. March 18th I arrived, so
okay.
It's been about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm heading out for my 4 a.m. flight.
Right.
Tonight.
Yeah. So what have you been doing in the sort of slightly less than a month that you've been here?
Well, most of the work that I've been doing is related to AVI USA and just connecting with people and following up on projects and
right.
that sort of thing.
Cool. Okay, so as I said at the top of the program, you've come here armed with a guitar. What sort of things do you want to sing and play for us today?
We're going to find out because I don't really know. But the music that I generally play is it's a mixture of the music I learned to play growing up was Grateful Dead and
oh, wow.
Fish and Led Zeppelin and Bob Dylan, like acoustic folk rock kind
yeah.
of stuff. And then I got into yoga and Sanskrit and that side of things. And so I've basically, over the past 20 years, been developing a blend of those two.
Mm.
And so the music is mostly, the song structure is basically Western folk music.
Yeah.
I mean, not country Western. Mm. But
thank you.
Western folk music song structures. I sing. I write songs in English, like with English lyrics, also.
Mm.
And some of them, most of them have some mantra, some Sanskrit mantra woven in that
right.
reflects the spirit of the song and resonates. Mm. So it's not necessarily random Sanskrit mantras jammed into songs. There's a reason why it's there. But that's basically it. I do sing some in Tamil also. I've learned some Tamil songs recently, but it's the same format.
Right.
And interestingly, often when I'm singing with my Tamil teacher, he's trying to teach me the song, and I'm playing in 4/4, and he's like on some totally different time signature and trying to figure out. And then he's singing in this like raga, Carnatic thing, and I don't know how to do that. So I'm just basically like, okay. C major, can we? So, anyway, that's where I kind of shrink everything into that frame because that's what I've got to work with.
Yeah. Okay. So, what are you going to play for us first?
What am I going to play first? I think just a simple song to Saraswati.
Okay.
And Saraswati in... Sri Aurobindo writes about her as like inspiration, not intuition so much as just like the light that comes down that we then translate into our own understanding of things.
Mm-hmm.
Just that pure light pouring down. So this mantra is from the Rig Veda, the main mantra in the song, and it's basically like Saraswati, pour down on us, like pour your, like, it's got this sense of like deluge us and break up all the junk that we have kind of wrapped around ourselves. So that's the sense of it. So, ready?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Thank you. So, what What do you do with your music? I mean, then when you're at home in Massachusetts, do you play with a band? Do you do concerts? What's your musical life like at home?
So this has been a unique year, 2 years, as we all know. So my musical life started out on Zoom. I mean, before COVID, I was playing with a band and playing. At that time, we had a yoga studio, my wife and I, that we were managing, and we had a space, so we had events there frequently, and I would play with the band, and yeah, it was great. And then COVID came and kind of shut all that down.
Yeah.
So then I went to Zoom, and I started doing things on Zoom and on Facebook Live and Instagram Live, and I would kind of sometimes do stuff with my daughter. But the technology, you know, when I would come with a band, there was somebody managing the sound.
Yeah.
I'm at home by myself. The technology interface was just making me nuts, and trying to figure out how to, like, stay with the spirit of the music and not work. And did I set it up right? So I kind of fell off of that and just started playing more by myself, you know, sitting in my room and singing and playing.
Yeah, all the videos on YouTube make live streaming seem so effortless.
Yes.
You just push the button and away you go. Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way. And I'm not really like a techie, you know. Some people like love that stuff.
Yeah.
I have good friends that just kind of love it and know how what everything does and how it all works. And I don't really want to know that much. So there's a little bit of a like a resistance there. But I want it to sound good. And so I kind of got to the point where I was like, oh, I don't think it sounds very good and I don't want to learn how to fix it. And so I'm just going to sing by myself for a while.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, I kind of huddled in and it was nice too, you know, to just be singing alone. Last night I sang at Progress Hall at Bart Nevis.
All right.
That was the first time I've sang with people live since before COVID. Well, that's not, I did something outside once. Maybe last summer.
Yeah.
But everybody was very far away and in their, you know, clusters and all that. So it was really nice, actually, to be kind of halfway indoors. It was basically an inside thing, and you could hear everybody, and everybody, I was close enough to them that I could hear them singing back.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Cool. Time for another song?
Sure. Sounds good. Well, this is simple enough. I'm just going to... This is a song that's on the... I have an album that I released at right in time for COVID. My Welcome to COVID album. I released it in January to 2020.
Wow.
Right before we knew what was coming.
Yeah.
And it's the debut of my musical career right before it fell apart. So this song is on that album. It's called Shine. I see it in your eyes. Your spirit tries to shine, but it's subdued. It's how you spend your time. It's how you use your mind, it's how you're used. I can hear it in your voice, so many choices given away. You were born to shine, not to wallow in your mind day after day. That you have tied, let yourself unravel all the pain you've held inside. It's time to awaken, feel your inner flame, call upon your spirit, speak the holy name. It's time to sing your anthem, the one you came to sing, to blow the horn of destiny and the bells of freedom. machine. You're as brilliant as a million suns. You were born to be seen. You can step out of that prison now and let your armor fall away. You were born to shine, not to hide behind your mind day after day. It's time to awaken, it's time to be free. It's time to align your heart with all you're meant to be. It's time to weave the fabric given as your life. Warp and weft, revealing all the love you've held inside. It's time to awaken, feel your inner flame. Call upon your spirit and speak the holy name. It's time to sing your anthem, the one no one else can sing. Blow the horn of destiny and let the bells of freedom ring. We were born to shine, we're as brilliant as the stars. May the life we wrap around us reveal the light we are. We were born to shine, we're as brilliant as the stars. May the life we wrap around us reveal the light we are. We were born to shine, we're as brilliant as the stars. May the life we wrap around us reveal the light we are. We were born to shine, we're as brilliant as the stars. May the life we wrap around us reveal the light. Om Ganganapataye Namaha. 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 Om Ganganapataye Namaha.
So, as you said earlier, even your English songs, your Western folk songs, contain mantras.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us? Well, can you tell everyone out there in Radio Land why? Why do you put a mantra in? What does it, you know? What does it do for you? What does it do for the song?
There's a. It's a very direct question. I appreciate that. I feel like people have tried to ask me that in different ways, but that was very clear. Sanskrit as a language, every language has a consciousness. So if I speak German, I kind of become a different person. If I speak Spanish, I become a different person. Like I've lived in Chile and, you know, can get around with Spanish.
Yeah.
There's a different me in there that speaks Spanish, not the same English speaking me.
Yeah.
And Sanskrit also, there's a consciousness. It's very packed with meaning. So every word, you know, people try to do translations. There's 500 English translations of the Bhagavad Gita for a reason, because you can't do it. It's not possible. You can do a rendering.
Yeah.
But the Sanskrit can't really be translated into English. And so a lot of times my songs are a translation of a mantra. I'm trying to think of a song like that that I could play, where the mantra says something, and then there's like a whole song. It's like, you know, in Sanskrit it's said in one sentence, but then I have to like write a whole song about it. Yeah. I mean, that one isn't really, the one that I did isn't really necessarily an example of that, because the mantra, Om Gan Ganapataye Namaha, is fairly straightforward. It's an invocation of Ganesh, right? And I experience Ganesh as the one who stands in the doorway. I don't know if you know the story of Ganesh, but his mom, Parvati, the queen of the universe, the mother of all things, was married to Shiva, and he was always off, you know, in the mountains meditating, and she wanted to have a kid, and he was like, psh, no way, I'm not doing that. That'll tie me down, you know, I'm a yogi, I'm an ascetic. So he went away one time. She's like, hey, I'm the mother of the universe, I can do whatever I want. So she made this little boy out of clay, and she breathed life into him and called him Ganesh. I don't know if she called him that yet. But anyway, then Shiva came home and was like, excuse me, who's this? And by then, Ganesh, this is like, he would go away for millions of years.
Yeah.
So he comes back a million years later. Ganesh is a million years old. And he's like, whoa, there's a man in my house. You know, and that's where the fight comes from. And Shiva cuts his head off and puts the elephant head on and all that. But the point is, there's another story where Ganesh also is standing in the doorway protecting his mother.
Right.
This king from somewhere wanted to come and get Parvati to come to a party. And Ganesh is the intermediary. He's the one that stands between the outer and the inner realm. She's in her bedroom, in the bathroom, taking a bath when Shiva comes home. So it's like the divine mother who's private, who we can't see, who we can't, you know, she's hiding herself from us. Ganesh is the one who stands there and says, like, no, or, sure, come on in. So I think of that as like my own kind of outer being and my inner being, that I'm like trying to find my inner being, trying to, who am I? Where am I? You know, where's this mother? Where's this divine? It's like so silent and so mysterious, and I'm looking everywhere. And Ganesh is there like, no, you can't see that right now. You're going to stay on that side of the door right now. And then sometimes Ganesh just is like, yeah, come on in. And then, you know, I'll have an experience, a direct experience of the divine. And that's the way I think of Ganesh, as the intermediary, the one that stands between. So that song is like that. It's like kind of a invitation to explore what it is that stands between me and one and their deeper self. You know, it's like, it's time to wake up. It's, you know, there's your spirit tries to shine, but it's subdued. You know, it's like we're all trying. Every one of us is a soul, a radiant light, and it's trying to shine through all this mess. Everybody, no matter how much of a jerk somebody is, no matter how mean and nasty and manipulative, there's a soul in there that's trying to shine through, but it's subdued by something.
Yeah.
And so the song is a little bit like, hey, yeah, whatever's in there, come on out. So it's like, that's the connection to Ganesh. So that's a little bit more, less linear than a translation, but you see why it's there. You know, it's like, it works, at least for me.
You're not the only one that thinks so. At the very least, it's you and George Harrison.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, one other thing. I can't help noticing that's a very nice guitar you got. And it doesn't say Martin or Taylor or Yamaha on the headstock. Tell us about it.
This is my best friend, this fellow here. I mean, it's one of those things, you know. I wasn't even really playing guitar much. I have two kids. My son's 16 and my daughter's 12.
I like that direct link. Yeah. I don't play very much guitar.
No, I wasn't. At that time, yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. I was going to say, when my daughter was born, she's 12 now. Actually, my daughter goes by they, them, so yeah. I don't say she. But when my daughter was born, they were basically like, no, you can't, like, as an infant, like, no, no, that's not what you're going to do now.
Yeah.
And so I stopped playing for a long time. I'd played when I was younger, and I stopped playing for a long time. And so before that, this is like, you know, 15, 20 years ago, I was looking for a guitar, and I was in a guitar shop, and I think my mom actually bought this for me for Christmas or something. I mean, I was like in my early 20s, and I didn't know anything about guitars. I mean, I had no... It was complete, like, yeah, this sounds pretty good, you know, like,
yeah.
And it turns out it's an amazing guitar.
It certainly is.
It's a Breedlove. When I got it, the action was so high that actually, that's, I think another reason why I stopped playing in some ways, because it would just hurt,
yeah,
and I could never get it. So I had to get the action brought down quite a bit. And I didn't even know that was possible until like years later.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. So now it's playable. Action's still a little bit high, but it's playable. But yeah, it's very loud. I got a pickup put into it. So yeah. When I play live with a sound system, I can play with it. And yeah, it's just, there's a few, it's wearing in a few spots, but I love the sound of it.
And yeah, it's very nice.
You know, a lot of people, especially, you know, when they start out playing and they play for a while and it's like time to get a new guitar. And I get into that, like, yeah, I want to get a new guitar too. And then I'm like, well, actually, why? I kind of really like this guitar. And I even when I play these really expensive Martins and stuff, I'm always a little bit like, well, that's not as good as my guitar.
Yeah, and I certainly find over time you build such a strong relationship with the guitar.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look after a guitar and it rewards you.
Yes.
You know, it makes you play better.
Yeah.
You know, though it's like relationships with people. Some people are addicted to the romance of a new relationship.
Right.
And I certainly know a lot of people that are just continually buying more guitars. That rush of, ooh, nice new guitar.
Yeah.
But there's something deeper to be got.
Yeah.
From having one guitar for a long, long time.
Yeah. Yes, totally. There's a guy that lives in the town where I live who was the lead guitarist for one of those like big bands around the time of Nirvana. I forget what the name is, and I forget his name. It's a little embarrassing. But I went to his house. He plays kirtan. He's an Amma devotee. Great. Maybe he'll appreciate that I'm not telling his name. But anyway, I went to his house and I went upstairs and there's like 35 guitars in a room. I'm just like, how do you manage that? What do you do with all those guitars? Do you play them all? Anyway, yeah, this is my only guitar, actually. I bought one here once, thinking, like, I'll have a guitar, because I come twice a year to Oroville.
Yeah.
I'll have a guitar, and I'll leave it here, and then I won't have to lug this one back and forth, but, like, no way.
Yeah.
I need to have this one if I'm going to do anything useful with it.
Yeah. Okay, time for another song, do you think?
Sure. I feel like I should represent the Tamil, the Tamil language here a little bit. So, this is just in Tamil, there's not an English part. Yeah, that's easier to just do it that way.
Okay.
Shiva Nepo.
If you were to give an approximate translation from Tamil into the English.
Yeah, potri, shivane potri. Potri is like namaha, so I can translate it into Sanskrit and then into English. It's the kind of like, it's an honoring, bowing, like, you know, honoring Shiva, shivane potri. And then all the other stuff, guru varje adi adi. So it's like, I think, and actually I'm not as sure about this, and generally I'm not as sure about Tamil usually as English, I mean as Sanskrit, but like the guru is the original, like varye is like life, and adi, like the original, the ancient life, the primal life, the original one. Guru, murye, vedam, guru, the guru is the wisdom. Like Veda, like Vedam is the same in Sanskrit, like the Veda is the wisdom. Guru Vriye Deepam, the Guru's, I think Moriye is like something to do with mind or knowing, and Vriye is like sight, vision, and Deepam is light. So the Guru's vision is light, or the Guru is the vision of light. I don't know the, I know the kind of basic words, but I don't know the grammar. So I don't know if it's saying the guru is the light, or the guru brings the light, or the guru shows the light, or I don't know. That I'm not sure about.
Yeah.
And then guru parame kapu kapu, the guru's feet are liberation, I think, something like that. That's the closest. I mean, there's so many people here that actually know, so I'm a little shy to make a proclamation.
Well, you're doing way better than I could.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, in Oroville, there's this unique situation. People, and I mean, this is representative in the West. People are familiar in the Western yoga world with Sanskrit, but they're not as familiar with Tamil and the Siddha tradition. And people are familiar with Ayurveda, but they're not familiar with Siddha medicine. And so it's important to me. There's some really profound, deeply spiritual Tamil texts, and it's important to me to explore those and honor that aspect of yoga as well. And I have spent less time with it, you know. I've been studying Sanskrit much longer and Sanskrit texts much longer, but Tamil's beautiful language, and I'm always learning. There's a new song that I just wrote yesterday in Tamil that. The teacher, it's like I arranged it, but somebody taught it to me. So the language is so beautiful and musical, the language itself. And there's a difference between kind of the Tamil that's spoken now here and this, the Tamil of the texts.
Okay.
You know, it's basically a different language almost.
Wow. So you're going to miss that when you...
When I leave.
When you go.
Yes, definitely. It's easier to learn Hindi or Sanskrit and study that stuff. There's less resources for learning Tamil over there in the U.S. It's not very prevalent.
So what awaits you, apart from your lovely family, what awaits you on your return to America? What have you got lined up for the next however long? What's life like there? Because we, you know, in Oroville, mercifully, COVID hasn't really ravaged us too much.
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of life will you be going back to?
I don't know, because things were changing a lot when I left, and I haven't asked that many questions since I've been here. But I am pretty sure my kids' school is still... The last time I asked, which was a few days ago, they still were requiring masks for the kids all day at school. And they were thinking about going to mask optional. So not even, you know, and I think the sense is that a lot of kids would still wear them. So there's this, I think, you know, I mean, it's also in the winter there, everybody's inside all the time. And so there's that. But when I left, you had to wear a mask to the grocery store, anywhere inside that you were with a person. Where I lived, that was like the town mandate, was everybody had to wear one. So that's the world I came from to here, where sometimes I see people with the mask necklace on, but very rarely do I see somebody with a full mask. And I don't know, going back there, I mean, what it's, you know, I think it's evolving. I go rock climbing. That's like my big, I love rock climbing. And so I go to an indoor rock climbing gym in the winter.
Yeah.
And I had to rock climb with a mask on for months, you know, which is just strange. It's hard. You get out of breath and you're like breathing in the mask.
Yeah.
But a week or two before I left, they got rid of that. Right. So that's what I mean, is it's like kind of in flux.
Yeah.
As far as all that goes. And beyond that, you know, I do a lot of work for AVI USA, so I'll be going back to that. And my wife and I still, we don't have a space, but we have an online yoga thing called Shraddha Yoga. And there's actually a woman named Sangeeta from Oroville who's teaching Vedic chanting through that platform. And we've had other Oroville teachers doing things and interested in connecting with the Vidya Mandir, the Sanskrit group in Oroville, to maybe collaborate on some stuff. So it's all like my kind of, I'm there, but I'm always connected to here. I'm on Zoom and on WhatsApp and on the phone with people from here all the time, like many times a week. So I don't, my body goes far away, but my heart and my attention are always kind of here.
That's nice to know.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can play the last song.
Yeah. Okay. So, I suppose we better let you go and do your packing. Could you leave us with one more song?
Yes. I would love to. This is a song of hope for Oroville. The mantra is... it comes from the Rig Veda, and it's about Usha, which is the dawn. Usho Devi Amartya, the immortal dawn. So it's like dawn just keeps coming. You know, you go to sleep, you wake up the next morning, and there she is to greet you every day. And she's immortal in that way. She doesn't die, and she's always there. And so this is a song of hope, and a song that invokes that kind of eternal dawn that just keeps coming. And despite how dark it is, despite how difficult things get and how confused, you know, it's all dark and we can't see where things are going. We're tripping over each other, banging into the wall. You know, you have a big lump on your head from hitting the wall in the middle of the night. And then still, the dawn is coming. All the time, the dawn is coming. So this is a song that carries that message. I think I might have lost that string. So let me just get that string back. Oh, it's actually fine. Okay, well. Thank you. light drawn across a darkened sky. She speaks in color, kisses our eyes. The dawn drawn by her golden horses arise, singing the new day to life, mother of light, mother of light, mother of seven magnificent rays. She fashions and follows the path of the truth. Opens her eye, lets fall her veil and bursts the day, and all that is waiting to be comes into view. You can lean on her love, the truth that she brings. You can slip into her wake and follow.
Her love, the hope that she sings, you can ride her ghost.